Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the king size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.
Oh, we have got a massive show coming your way this weekend. We're going up to Bathurst in a major way. Mark Scaife from Fox will tell us exactly what's happening. Rusty, it's his favourite weekend of the year. We'll hear from Chaz Mostert on his big incident at the top of the mountain last year. Mark Bosnich on the A-League. Jay Clark on all the footy stuff. Campbell Brown, you're not going to believe what Brown is up to. Grant Denyer, who's racing at the moment, as well as Larry and Jack Perkins on the Howie Games. It's an interesting show because I sit in a room in Bathurst. Jude Bolton sits in a room in Sydney, and we're rolling out of Melbourne. So anything could happen. Good morning to you, brother.
Oh, good morning, mate. It is going to be a different weekend, but what a weekend of sport. Again, after last weekend as well, it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, just briefly on last weekend, how's the mood been amongst the Sydney camp? They went in there as favourites, Jude, and they've lost another grand final.
Yeah, obviously they were super disappointed. I think, to not get the chocolates twice in a row the time they've gone to the grand final was really disappointing. But you could never begrudge the Doggies fans, the long-suffering Doggies fans who have been revelling in this moment.
Now, talking about the Doggies fans too, we'll also speak to a filmmaker called Adrian Brown who had exclusive access for the last month into the Doggies rooms. He's got some amazing stories of the things he saw in grand final week. We'll talk footy next and the fact that Boomer Harvey has retired. That's coming up with Howie and Jude Bolton on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Big night last night for the Kangaroos, the Sid Barker medal taken out by Robbie Tarrant. But the big news was Brent Harvey, who had to say this to the North Melbourne faithful.
I also know there has been a lot of speculation about my future. I've wrestled with this decision since the day we were beaten by the Crows. I think my footy is good enough to go on, and the fact that I love my footy so much is why this has been such a tough decision. But I'd like to tell everyone in this room tonight that my decision not to pull on another team's jumper is the reason why I'd like to announce my retirement from AFL football. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm extremely privileged to have played one game for the North Melbourne Football Club, let alone play here for 21 years.
Oh, what a superstar he's been. I mean, it's to finish as the game's record holder when we thought basically Michael Tuck's record would never be broken, and I guess his contribution to the game is just phenomenal, and I actually really love the fact that he will finish as a one-team player. That's the sort of, I guess, the player that we know, and as much as he could go around and play and contribute to another team and be an influence somewhere else, he finishes as a North Melbourne and a shin boner.
Yeah, I think you could hear the emotion in his voice that it hadn't been an easy decision, Jude. And immediate applause to the North Melbourne faithful. I think obviously they wanted their man to remain a one-club player. Some more news also out of the North Melbourne best and fairest last night regarding Andrew Swallow, Jude.
Yeah, so he looks like he took the stage and stood down from the captaincy. So I guess that leads in, and we're going to chat to Jay Clark later on, but I'd assume it'd be Azeeble would step in for next season, but stood down from the captaincy, Andrew Swallow.
Yeah, some more big news out of the Collingwood Footy Club. Scotty Pendlebury, you've got some stats there, won his fourth Copeland in a row and fifth in total, was it? He's been a player. Wow.
He's so consistent, Scott Pendlebury. Obviously, pipped Treloar, who was the raging favourite going into it, and he's just had a super year, but he's had four consecutive best and fairests, and he joins a list of Dick Reynolds, Jack Dyer, Kevin Murray, Bobby Skilton, Teasdale, Dempsey, and Pavlich. It's a reasonable list of guys who have it's just the upper echelon of AFL football. So just a superstar and an instant Hall of Famer, and you'd hope at one stage that he adds a Brownlow to that as well, because he's been up there a number of years as well.
Yeah, they're extraordinary details. Just to go look back at the grand final, Jude, what an extraordinary day, an extraordinary game. I've never heard the MCG so loud. I've told a few people that this week. You get the opportunity to go and do some wonderful events there. Just the constant noise and the fact that no one left during the entire presentation ceremony, it was a great sporting day, wasn't it?
Oh, it was incredible to be there. Everyone loves watching history in any sport, and to see that and witness, I guess, a fairy tale for the Doggies fans, but also the players out there, and it was just phenomenal. I mean, you were down in the rooms, weren't you? So what was that moment like when they came into the rooms and the emotion in there after?
Yeah, a few people asked me that during the week, Jude. It was like nothing I've ever seen. I've been down there, I guess, since the Cats started winning their premierships, and obviously seen the Hawks and the Swans get up, but They obviously believe they could win, Jude, but I guess on Triple M Footy we spoke to 13 or 14 of their players, and their first response, this is as soon as they came down to the rooms, was, well, I can't believe we won it. It was just general disbelief. They obviously had that team belief, but it was almost like there was shock on their faces, and it was so many years and so much history, and it was just a treat to be down there. The emotion that was overflowing, and when they sung the song and held up that cup, you could see Peter Gordon and these guys that have spent so much, and Brad Johnson and Rowan Smith. It was just a great day. It was just a great night down there, Jude. It was incredible.
Yeah, having been through breaking a drought like we did in 2005, I guess I know that experience. And then just you've got people walking around the rooms, and they're absolutely numb with the emotion and overwhelmed by it, but also the fact that the monkey is now off the back. And for Doggies fans, for those players, they start next year as the reigning premiers. It's something so unheard of in this organisation. And, I mean, they can just go from strength to strength here because they've got such a young list, a young talented list. Bontempelli obviously won the best and fairest, and we know how, you know, mature this young man is. He's just phenomenal. And and they'll get Bob Murphy back, which is just going to be another, you know, kick forward as well.
Yeah, it was a great, great finish to a wonderful AFL season. We'll speak to Jay Clark shortly about all the trade news, as well as a gentleman by the name of Adrian Brown, who I mentioned at the start of the show, who spent the last year embedded in the Bulldogs camp filming everything. He's got some incredible stories about what happened in grand final week. Though, we're up at Bathurst, though. It is all about the V8s this weekend, and Mark Scaife, a legend of the V8 world, joins us next. Judy, boy, I tell you what, Fox Sports, they've blown it up this week. They've got a dedicated pop-up channel for Bathurst, the biggest race on the supercar calendar. It runs non-stop 24 hours a day. You can see it all on Fox Sports Today as well. Neil Crompton is there, Greg Rust is there, but for mine, there's only one man to listen to. He's won this race six times, five-time V8 supercar champion. Mark Scaife joins us. Hello, Scaife.
Morning, boys.
Well, let's get to the hard stuff first. My hotel, no hot showers. How are you tracking?
Hey, that's for the experience, Howie. Long time coming here and organising ourselves to stay in the right spot. So my hotel is actually very, very nice.
Thank you. Scaife. I've heard nothing but whinging all morning from Mark Howard. It's just been embarrassing. Like, he's obviously just used to this five-star treatment.
Oh, well, look, when there's no Sheraton at the joint, you know what it's like. How he just doesn't front, does he? Imagine even contemplating camping where all those people are camping this weekend.
He always talks about the Bathurst experience and how wonderful it is, and seeing everyone with the Barbies and, you know, getting it. He's never immerses himself in it.
I tell you, Jude, I'd be better off camping than this current S-Box where I'm staying at the moment. Now, Scaife, it's been an amazing weekend already. By gee, the boys were quick yesterday, and I spoke to Jude, and we'll hear from Chaz Mostert later on. That frightening incident last year, to just come out and compete, I thought would be impressive, but to compete at the level he has, I think it's been fantastic, Scaife.
I totally agree. I mean, for me, he was the man of the match yesterday. You know, that accident in 2015 for Mostert, that was just a monumental. It was an absolute bone-jarring pinball effect off the inside wall into the outside wall, and off he went. And, you know, that's one that's hard to recover from. But for him to come out yesterday and only be 0.15 of a second off pole position or provisional pole was a fantastic effort. And the top 10 shootout today, guys, just shapes up as an absolute cracker, because I reckon Wincup, McLaughlin, Slade, Mostert and Coulthard and Van Gisbergen, so there's of the top 10, six of them can qualify pole.
Scaife, obviously Jamie Wincup has not put a foot wrong since you know, they rolled the car out of the truck. He has been amazing all in the qualifying rounds, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, he's been very, very good this weekend. And I think a lot of it's about the gamesmanship, guys. You know, we always talk in sport about, you know, the rivalries and how the gamesmanship and workings within a garage, for instance, actually pan out. And for me, Wincup has had a really powerful presence this weekend. You know, he rolled out fastest in every session. His co-driver, Paul Dumbrell, was the fastest in the co-driver session also. So they've just had a dominant car and team package. And they're going to take a power of beating, because Dumbrell, you know, he's almost a main game driver. He's one of those guys that he's not out of place against the primary drivers. So, you know, I reckon at the moment with their form, the way the cars look from the time it rolled out of the truck, they're the car to beat.
Scaife, you take us inside a car around Mount Panorama. We see the onboard footage. Is there time to have fun and appreciate what you're doing when you're racing around this track, or is it just so full on that you're 100% concentration the whole way?
You are just 100%. I mean, when the safety car comes out or whatever, when there's a circumstance change that you can actually just have a bit of a breathe and a bit of a relax, then you can sort of take it in a little bit. But a qualifying lap around this place is just extraordinary. You are so close to crashing. It is unbelievable. I mean, you know, the boys used to laugh at me because they'd tell me to breathe, because seriously, it was so intense, you forget to breathe. And because I think TV doesn't do it justice in terms of the elevation change and the character of the racetrack. And it's just so unforgiving. The slightest mistake, you go in the fence. Like Mostert last year, the slightest mistake, you go in the fence. So those consequences are high, and the risks are higher here than anywhere else.
Scafie, there's obviously a couple of blokes who need, got to work ahead of them. James Courtney, 16th, Will Davidson, 17th, and Craig Lowndes, defending race winner, starting at 21st. What is the game plan starting that far back? What does he need to do early on?
Well, not get involved in all the accidents and the drama, because what happens at this place, and it's an unknown reason, we've never known it for 50 years, why the first 5 or 10 laps is a sprint race. The red mist descends and everyone goes mad. So you've got to make sure that when you pop out of the first 5 or 10 laps that you haven't got damage on the car. You can lose the race effectively in those opening laps. So when you're that far back and all the chaos of being in the midfield, for those blokes that you just mentioned, especially Craig Lowndes, he's just got to make sure he comes out of that unscathed.
Keep an eye for Scafie, Crompo, Rusty and the boys on Fox Sports today. They've got non-stop coverage. As we let you go, maybe you got a couch or something in your room, Scafie, something I could slide onto.
Mate, I got everything. I got coffee machines, the whole lot. I got a champagne little bar, the whole lot.
He just wants warm showers. He just wants a warm shower.
Well, that's what you get when you won it 6 times. We'll see you up the mountain shortly, Scafie. We appreciate your time. Have a great day.
See you guys.
Great to speak to Mark Scafie on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. Jude, I'm really excited about this next segment. We're going to speak to a fella that I've worked with for a long time over the years by the name of Adrian Brown. He's got an amazing story to tell about what occurred with the Western Bulldogs or so in the last year. He was embedded in the camp getting all sorts of video footage. Let's have a listen to a bit of 80 and what he recorded with the Bulldogs during their game versus the GWS.
We're going to be playing the final books. We're down to the last four. Imagine what's going on out there with all your supporters and your fan base. Imagine how euphoric they will feel. Right, we've got to enjoy that sense and understand it. Feel good about what you've given everyone, especially your families and the football club and your fans. Put it in a bottle, we'll take it to Sydney next week. So come well, enjoy the weekend. Let's get there and watch our teammates play tomorrow if we can. One club, all together.
That's fantastic access, isn't it? We've obviously got Adrian on the line. Adrian, are you there, mate?
G'day, Jude. How are you?
Very well, mate. We're just speaking. It's incredible access that I guess you were privy to, and what a journey you've witnessed.
Oh, it's been it really has been unbelievable, and it's the last month of football that the Western Bulldogs have had to be inside and sort of witness that firsthand has been amazing, and the club was fantastic too, because it was just open doors, and it took a little bit of time. I've sort of been there for probably the last 2 years really, and it just works on a bit of a trust basis.
80, I can't wait, and we need to discuss what you're going to do with this footage. You went to film last season for Bob Murphy, which has turned into something completely different. Tell us about your week, grand final week, and some of the things you were filming and the things you witnessed.
Oh gee, what was it? It was the GWS game on the Saturday night, I think it was, and then flying back that Saturday night with the team at the on the plane at the airport. The next morning at the club at the rehab session, at the physio session with the players, sort of checking out what their week might entail on the track. Then you've got team meetings during the week. The simple stuff is how the week's going to roll out, how the parade will roll out. Then you've got team opposition meetings during the week, their own walkthrough meetings, positional meetings of the club. Then you've got driving in with Luke Beveridge on the Friday of the parade, on a bus with the players in the parade, all the training sessions during the week, a number of different things. And then even on the day itself, even just sort of, you know, with John Schultz of the morning, of riding in with him with, you know, his family catching the train in before he sort of hands over the Premiership Cup that afternoon. And then the day itself was, you know, basically all the team meetings, you know, pre-match and post-match and quarter time, three-quarter time. So it was fantastic.
What was he like in those meetings, AD? Jude and I, we both want to jump in because we want to know. So the pre-game address, when he's chatting to the Bulldogs, what was the theme of the message? Is he a yeller? Is he a screamer? Is he calm? Is he inspirational?
No, Luke's not. You would have seen that there's a few videos already been released on the website, and the one that you just played a little bit earlier, Luke's always been pretty calm. Like, from my thought, he's always able to deliver a message to the guys, you know, in a pretty even tone that everyone can sort of follow through and understand.
People won't realise, Jude, AD's appeared on the Dead Set Legends before. Now, this doco, we're not sure at this stage, so you're no doubt fascinated by it, Bulldogs fans. It may appear in a DVD form. It may pop up on the website. AD may go and make a movie, Year of the Dog 2 type of thing.
Amazing.
So looking forward to that. But AD has also rang me last year, a month before the Melbourne Cup. He said, I've got a Melbourne Cup run. I put some money on it. I was like, oh, yeah, what's it paying, 100-1? The horse is Prince of Penzance. 80 goes on, and he's a part winner of the Melbourne Cup. So the question needs to be now, Slim Shady 80, why is Michelle Payne not riding your horse?
I know, it's an interesting one. Because suddenly when you go in buying, you know, you go in, well, you don't realise when you start off buying shares of horses with mates as a social thing, that suddenly you win a big race, it becomes a business very quickly. And You suddenly get chopped out of various meetings of why people are on horses and not on horses.
Oh, don't pass a buck, Slim.
No, I am. This is what I'm learning. Suddenly it's like, oh, geez, suddenly it's not the social environment you are.
80, you've won a Melbourne Cup.
I know.
You've just shot the documentary of the decade. It's going to be unbelievable, a feature film. What's your next fairy tale you're going to be wrapped up in?
Well, yeah, if you did pick a third, now given that what's happening in the Premier League, what's left? What is the great, that's a good question actually, what is the great upset that's left in sport?
I'm not sure what it is, AD, but before we let you go, we were trying to get hold of you and we couldn't get hold of you a couple of moments. You need to explain, this is AD Brown, filmmaker, Melbourne Cup winner. This is his message bank.
Bonjour. Hello, you're on AD's phone. Please leave a message after the beep. Unbelievable.
Who is that? Who is that?
Henri Leconte.
Gabriel Gatto.
Oh, come on, AD.
Gabriel Gatto.
No, it's on Henri Leconte.
Listen, mate, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. And as soon as you decide what you're doing with all the footage, we'll let everyone know out in the Dead Set Legends, mate. You've been part of a wonderful journey. You've been blessed. Can't wait to see your film representing the Bulldogs and their premiership.
Thanks, Slim. Thanks, Jude.
Great to speak to Adrian Brown. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. Jude, it was grand final week last week for the AFL. This week, it is grand final week for our next guest, Greg Rust. Not only that, because he's now got a starring role in the Broccoli movie.
He's massive. Sunday night.
On Sunday night. He is signing autographs more than Mark Scaife, more than Russell Ingle, more than Craig Lowndes.
Kissing babies' heads.
Oh, he's got his own trailer. He's got his makeup artist. He's on the line now from the mountain with his posse, Greg Rust. Hello.
Do you know what's happening? I love it. Occasionally, I get mistaken for Mark Beretta, and he's got much better looks than me. And when that happens, my buddy Daryl Beattie wails. He thinks that's just outstanding. So no, very small part. I am proud of it. I had a lot of fun during the day on set, but mate, I'm not going to win any awards for it anytime soon. I promise you.
Now, Thruster, tell us about what has happened so far at the mountain. There were some very, very quick times yesterday.
You two love your motorsport. I know that. Basically, yesterday, Jamie Whincup went within a whisker of the fastest time we've ever seen from a supercar around the mountain here. He actually owns that record. He did it here last year in practice. So we went very close to a 2-minute, 4-second lap. So just mighty. His car, boys, looks good as both a race car, but also as a one-lap dasher. And we have the top 10 shootout coming up this afternoon. So he's in great shape either way. It was a tough day for the defending winners, for Lowndes and for Stephen Richards, though.
Scott McLaughlin, obviously in the Volvo S60, was pretty close just off the mark.
Yeah, he was, Jude. And what was interesting about that was that at the very end of the qualifying session, they brought him in and decided to throw another set of tyres on it, and they made a tweak to the car. And I actually didn't think he would make it back out with enough time to complete a flying lap, and he got over to start the lap with seconds remaining and pieced together a beautiful one. So he's absolutely in the mix. There's been times over the weekend where he's shaken his head a little bit about the pace of the Red Bull cars, but as you both know, it's a very long race tomorrow. And even for Lowndes and Richards, who've qualified back on row 10, in some respects it doesn't matter, because over the 6 hours of the race, a lot of things unfold and you can claw that back.
Chas Mostert has been unbelievable, Rusty. We're going to hear from him later on in the show, but I think after what happened last year and that vision of him screaming when they were pulling him out of a car with a broken leg, to get up there and be consistently in the top five has been the story of the weekend for mine. He's been phenomenal.
Absolutely. I mean, we've spoken about it. I've done it with both of you now on radio, but a lot of people question whether there would be any demons. Would there be, you know, any issues for this guy? He's already come back to Bathurst and run and won in another race here earlier in the year. I've seen no real evidence of that, but even in chatting to him after that you know, top four effort in quali yesterday, you kind of sense that he ticked a box, Howie, didn't he? You know, it was important for him to get that done. He's fast. My colleague Neil Crompton said last night that he thinks he's a real shot at winning this thing again. So, you know, a year on from what was a very scary accident for all of us who are not just, I mean, obviously mostly for Chaz, but for all of us who are watching, it's great to see him absolutely back to his best. And he's in an incredible year. We've seen, you know, over 10 different winners in this sport. He is yet to put his name on a trophy, boys. He's been on the podium. Yeah. And he's had heaps of poles. He could do it here this weekend.
What about, Rusty, obviously the support up on the mountain? Tell us about the crowds and the feeling up there at the moment this weekend.
It's unbelievable, Jude. I mean, you know what it's like going into some of the big theatres of Australian sport, like the MCG. For motor racing fans, it doesn't get any bigger than this, mate. It's an incredible place. People that come here for the first time cannot get over the level of the climb, the undulation, how unforgiving it is at the top of the circuit. And the fans come here, and many of them at the top of the mountain spend a whole week here. They've got dedicated areas set up for either their favourite driver or their favourite make or model. You kind of go through like mini suburbs that have got, you know, lounge chairs and flags and all sorts of things set up. It's part of tradition here at Bathurst. And the drivers can absolutely hear the cheers from them when they go across the top of that mountain. It's a spectacular place to watch. And I haven't done it for about 20 years, boys. But prior to the start tomorrow, I'm going to go up there for the warm-up lap for a part of our broadcast. So I can't wait. I'll be right amongst it.
Oh, fantastic, Rusty. Really appreciate you chatting to us. This is the Dead Set Legends for Triple M.
Dude, there's been some stunning performances this year in the world of AFL. We've seen an amazing premiership from the Bulldogs. We've seen high-flying marks. Eddie Betts has been on fire. But for mine, there's been none better than our next guest. He has dominated the year in his role. His name is Jay Clarke. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Clarkey.
Hello, Howie.
JC, how are you, mate?
Too many exhaust fumes, I think, for you to be saying things like that. I do appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, There's too many cold showers in the hotel here. That's the problem, Jay-Z. Hey, you're at the Collingwood Copeland last night. Scotty Pendlebury, an amazing performance.
What a star. Four Copeland trophies in a row. He's won five out of six and only one more away now from Nathan Buckley. He's got six Copeland trophies. And look, I just reckon sometimes we underplay Scotty Pendlebury. He's had such a consistent 10 years at that football club, played 21 games in each of the nine seasons. Now, Jude, I know you're a very durable man, but this guy is a super freak, Pendlebury. So
his consistency has been unbelievable.
And just wants some team success next year, boys. 3 years out of the finals, the Pies. And the senior coach, Nathan Buckley, got up on stage and said, next year is the year Collingwood returns to being a serious flag contender.
Is that where they're trading in some more senior players to make next year, you know, that real... They've got to make inroads because they've been out of the finals a number of years now and they've got to try and cash in next year, don't they?
That's right, Bolton. I reckon they've gone to the draft table in recent years and brought in some good young kids. And I don't mind now the idea behind topping up. So Chris Mayne from Fremantle puts on elite defensive pressure, if you like you did, Jude, in that forward line.
I don't mind him.
There's been a lot of criticism of that. I think Daniel Wells will join the Pies on a three-year deal worth about $600,000. So that's big money. But don't forget Daniel Wells polled most Brownlow votes for the Roos this year. Still one of the most devastating kicks in the comp. So I like that as well. And last night, just a bit of a whisper out of the best and fairest, I think Nathan Brown will now stay at the footy club. There's been a deal on the table for him for about 3 months now. He hasn't signed it, but I don't reckon North are as interested as they once were. So I think the vice-captain and fullback, Nathan Brown, will stay at the Pies, which is a big boost.
That's big, yeah. What about Ty Vickery? Obviously, we saw the Hawks offer something in the restricted free agency period yesterday. Will Richmond match that offer?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, if they can get a second-round pick, I think it's a two-year deal worth about $450,000, $500,000. The Tigers can get a second-round pick, which is about number 24. I reckon they take that and run. I think that's good darts for the Tigers. They're seeking indication from the AFL to see what sort of compo pick they'll get back. If it's a third round, which I think is less likely, then maybe they'll play a bit of argy-bargy with Hawthorn. But with the Hawks already trying to get Mitchell and O'Meara, I don't think they're going to have, you know, a whole lot of high draft picks to trade with Richmond. So the Tigers get a second-round pick, please just take it.
What about, obviously, Tom Rockliffe had the incident on Twitter. He's got the new coach, Chris Fagan. Where does he sit at the moment in his club? Because he's obviously quite a divisive character amongst the playing group as well.
Yeah, I quite like Rocky. He's had a difficult year and probably not a great couple of weeks. But, look, the demand there isn't that strong, to be honest. We keep looking for that club to emerge. And Adelaide's the one which has been touted for a long time now. But I don't think there's big money or a good deal coming back for Brisbane for Rockliffe. So I think if this goes down, I think it'll happen late in the trade period. And you might actually have to suck it up, go back to Brisbane and potentially lose the captaincy because clubs aren't jumping over each other to get him at the moment. And that's just the way it is.
We're chatting with Jay-Z Clark on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. More with Jay-Z next.
We heard Boomer last night, Jay-Z, and we played it already on the show. We'll play it again later for North Melbourne fans, announcing that he wasn't going to go on with the Kangaroos. Can you take us behind that decision? And was from what you understand, there's solid offers on the table for him to continue?
No, I don't think there was, Howie. I think he had a good look at them, and I think he was entitled to do that. But at the end of the day, I think there were no clubs, you know, willing to give him a decent playing contract for next year. So if there was a premiership contender which gave him a good deal with a bit of a coaching sort of side or fitness sort of a contract with it as well in 2 or 3 years' time, I think he would have taken it. But at the end of the day, there was nothing from the Bulldogs, nothing from the Pies, neither the Hawks nor GWS. So he's going to play at North Heidelberg, I think, isn't he, with his brother next year. I reckon he'll end up in coaching or doing some fitness coaching or something like that. But no more on-field action for Boomer, to be honest, boys. Like, one club player, I think it's a nice tie-up.
It's a great way to finish. Obviously, Robbie Tarrant pulled in the Sid Barker medal there, but Andrew Swallow stood down from the captaincy. Is there anything behind that apart from a transition into the next phase with Jack Zeeble, or is there any more to it there, Jay-Z?
Well, I think the timing is right for him. I mean, we spoke about Jack Zeeble possibly taking over the captaincy last year, so he's definitely ready, becoming a very consistent player. But I don't think Andrew Swallow is sort of necessarily an automatic selection in the best 22 this year. I sort of thought he tailed off a little bit. He's obviously a respected leader at that football club. But, you know, I think North will be looking to really blood some young players, some young midfielders, Trent Dumont, Ryan Clark. These types have really got to step up for the Roos. And it's just a whisper, boys, just a small whisper that Gold Coast might be having a look at Andrew Swallow. They need hardened inside midfielders. And as they're trying to keep David Swallow, just a bit of talk that they might be having a look at Andrew. So just keep an eye on that one.
They've got room to play with all their trading for picks. They've got a lot of picks this selection.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because there's always considerations that the Gold Coast Swallow would come and join the North Melbourne Swallow down here. As we let you go, Jay-Z, how do you know all this stuff? Like, how many phone calls are you on? Are you popping out of bins? Or, like, where does all this information come from, brother?
I jump out of the bushes, Harry. That's what I do. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, look, you make about a million phone calls each week on this sort of stuff. And sometimes the guys take your call. Sometimes you don't get through. But, look, they're sort of things that you chip away at, you know, over a year or two-year process and just keep jotting down the notes and, you know, it all sort of ties up at the end. But often there's twists and turns, lads, and I reckon there's a couple of big ones. Kurt Tippett, Bolts, what is he going to do? Because he's on big money at Sydney. And I just wonder whether Brisbane or Richmond might make a play for Curtis. Have you heard anything on that?
It's an interesting one. Obviously, he was in great form before his injury during the year and then just really tailed away at the end of the season. And, you know, there was there's always a scapegoat sometimes in a losing grand final, and certainly he's copped a fair bit of it. So, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Jay-Z, we appreciate your time, brother. You're just in rare form. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Take care, lads.
See you, Jay-Z.
That was Jay-Z Clark joining us on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Next, Howie Games. Check out the podcast on iTunes. We've got some information, and we'll play a little bit of stuff from Larry and Jack Perkins. They are the latest episode. Some of the stuff you'll hear, well, it might blow your whiskers off. That's coming up next, or it might not too, on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. Now, Howie, you've obviously got the Howie Games. You've had some incredible interviews over the time. We've had Danny Green, you've had Dennis Committee, Adam Gilchrist, Jack Jones, the war veteran as well. But this week, a real flavour of the week. Obviously, Bathurst is on, and you've spoken to Larry and Jack Perkins. Tell us about that one, mate.
Yeah, obviously on the podcast, which you can get on iTunes at the moment, just type in the Howie Games, sat down with both the Perkins boys. I met Jack 10 years ago when we went fishing together, of all things, in Bathurst for a story. And his very first cast, he threw it and it got stuck up a tree, Jude, so he can't fish the boy at all. And I got to know Larry and have spent a fair bit of time with the boys. A lot of people won't realise that Larry started his Formula, had a Formula One career. So he grew up in a tiny town up in northern Victoria near the South Australian border, and he used to race his cars around there. And he actually talks about the fact that he decided it was time to get out, in all seriousness, because his mates that he was playing footy with and things like that up there were getting on the grog and driving their cars and having accidents, and some of them didn't make it through it. And he thought, no, I've got to get out of this. So he came to Melbourne and he raced in some events here and won a series. And the prize was to go and race in Europe. So he did that as a young bloke. There was no Formula One in television in Australia. And all of a sudden, Larry was there rubbing shoulders with the likes of James Hunt. He was in a team that was run by Bernie Eccleston at about 15 Formula One starts, and he started at a place called Nürburgring, which is a famous old circuit, which was like a 9-mile track or something. Yeah. So we know him as a V8 superstar, but Larry actually started in Formula One.
I do remember going down to Nürburgring straight, which was about 3 miles long, I think it was, and I watched the front tyres grow about 2 inches in diameter, and I thought, my God, I can't believe this. And you look at the work out the revs, and you're doing about 190 mile an hour, and think, oh, this is a bit different. That was my first foray into Formula One at the only track that I had my sights on all my life. I wanted to race at the old Nürburgring, and I at least got there to have a qualifying run.
190 mile an hour. It's just scary.
In a car that was far from safe as well. And he was racing four teams that were coming and going. And I said to him, you know, did you feel like you had the ability to compete? And, you know, he was racing against Niki Lauda and these guys. And he said, yeah, I just never really got a crack at it. But he went on, obviously, to win 6 Bathurst, 3 of them with Peter Brock. And then his son, Jack, comes along, who's a wonderful young man. He's racing this weekend with James Courtney. And he said to me, literally, Howie, I'd give up an arm to win Bathurst. It means so much to him. But 9 years ago, Jack realised that he had a problem he didn't know what it was. He was starting to struggle to lose his sight. And he went to see a doctor. And the doctor basically said, you've got diabetes. And no one in Australia at that point had raced a car with diabetes. And it was a pretty dire discussion for Jack with the doc.
It was the Wednesday of Malalar, and I went to my eye doctor and said, hey, I need some new glasses real quick because I'm racing this weekend. Told him all that stuff, and he said, you've got diabetes. And that didn't mean much to me at the time. But later that night, I was admitted into hospital and, you know, got told then that I had diabetes and there was injections and things. It didn't mean much at the time either. And then I don't know whether it was Dad or me or whatever, but the diagnosing doctor at the time knew who we were and we were involved in car racing. He just said, yeah, you won't be able to race cars again.
Full stop.
And, full stop. I just pressed on and, you know, through a lot of discipline to make sure that I was never going to be at a risk. And, I mean, looking back on it, it was a risky thing to do. But if I had just listened to the doctor and not gone car racing, then all my dreams would have been squashed in an instant. And, you know, I've quickly worked out that I can still race 10 years later. And also around the world, plenty of people with diabetes are getting on with their life.
It's incredible, I guess, the mental toughness, but also the how driven he is just to say, nope, this is what I'll change. Anything I need to do to keep my love and my passion alive. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, to be told you can't compete in something you love. And he went through a period of 18 months where he didn't tell anyone. He didn't want to tell the team. He didn't want to tell the V8s, because when he did tell the V8s, they immediately said to him, well, you can't race. And then he went back and said, well, I've been racing for the last 18 months. This is how I've managed it. I've really tried to get on top of my diet. I get the insulin injections. But when you're a diabetic, and he explained to me that in your urine, you have a high degree of insulin, which would be a giveaway, which Larry also explained to me. So he was taking ASADA drug tests for any banned substance. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was concerned that they would see the high levels of insulin in his urine and then twig that he was a diabetic and let the V8 supercars know. So they went to some pretty extreme lengths to make sure this didn't happen.
Yeah, there was other issues that Jack has mentioned. He still had to pass medicals and to get your ordinary CAMS license, and ASADA will probably come down on this, Jack. But Jack managed to pass the medicals with the aid of some of his good mates in the urine test, which is a giveaway. So we won't go any further into that.
You want to be careful who you're getting the urine from.
But yeah, this is what you do when you desire to do something strong. The alternative is just lie down under a tree and slowly pass away.
Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. Using other,
yeah, it is.
Couple of the help of a few friends in terms of the urine. Wow.
Yeah, it's all been cleared off now, and it's all been cleared up with the V8 supercars. But he was just so concerned they were going to tell him he couldn't drive. So keep an eye out for Larry and Jack Perkins. It's out now. You can get it on iTunes on the Howie Games. I tell you, dude, I had a big one lined up to do this week. It was the first one I wasn't going to do in person. And it's still going to happen. But the negotiations to get Greg Norman to the table to do a Howie Games, finally,
huge.
His people, my people, who I don't have, were going
is
back
it across
going
the line?
Forth. There's Skype discussions, there's emails, there's faxes. Guess what happened?
What?
Hurricane Matthew hit Florida, and the shark is out in his own backyard cutting down trees and making sure everything's okay. So at the moment, we're on hold. So Greg Norman won't be too far away on that. But Hurricane Matthew is killed me. But our thoughts to everyone, obviously, in that part of the world, and Haiti, where it caused all sorts of damage and has caused some real problems in America as well. But keep an eye out for Larry and Jack Perkins on the Howie Games on iTunes. Plenty to come. A man that would be good on this is Mark Bosnich. Has he got some stories? He's joining us very soon to tell us all about the update of the start of the A-League season. Next, though, Sportsbet with Richie Humiston. This is Mark Howard and Jude Bolton of the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Jude, there is a man got all sorts on his plate this weekend. He's racing at Bathurst. He's on the Channel 10 coverage. He's probably doing rehearsals back in his room for Family Feud. He's got that much on. His name is Grant Denyer. He joins us now the morning. He's got to tackle the mountain. Hello, Grant Denyer.
Howie, Jude, how are we, boys?
Very well, Grant. Mate, tell us about your weekend. It is going to be jam-packed, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I love this place. I live for my motor racing. I was right into car racing well before I even found a microphone for television. So, you know, this is my time of year, mate. This is my grand final. So when this place sort of comes alive, particularly now that I'm a Bathurst local, I sort of live on a farm just over the back of the mountain. It literally is my backyard. So I live for days like today and tomorrow.
He came into the production meeting after his first spin around the mountain, I think it was on Friday, Jude, pale as a ghost. What? It's a step up, mate, isn't it? Because you've got to jump in there and tackle that mountain, and the only driving you've done around Bathurst lately is to go to the shops, I would have thought.
Yeah, mate, look, I haven't been in a supercar championship since 2009, so it's been a long time since I've driven these things seriously. So to kind of make a return at a place like Mount Panorama is possibly the most stupid thing you could do as a race car driver. You know, should we have a test day? Nah, I'll just turn up with my helmet, walk across the back fence, jump in a car, fire it up and blast around.
Like, so great.
Literally, Harry was right, mate. I'll get out of the car and, mate, this place is terrifying, particularly when you're not in these things all the time. So it's a nasty place that can bite.
So, Grant, have you just been doing all just local driving? So just waving to all the farmers around Bathurst, just getting the hands off the wheel, just a bit of a wave to everyone. Is that what's been happening around in Bathurst as well?
Well, Jude, I don't know whether you've spent much time in the country, mate, but it's not a whole hand off the wheel when you're acknowledging everybody. Yeah, in the country, it's a single finger.
Just a slight raise.
Not too much of an enthusiastic raise either, just a very slow and gradual, yep, I acknowledge you, fine, sir, I see you over there and I say hi from my motor vehicle.
Now, this is where I have to interrupt him, Jude, because he starts dropping in these sort of farmer comments, and he said last year, come up to my farm and we'll shoot a story, and, you know, you can meet my cows and my chickens, and I don't want to give too much away, but I think there's a few less chickens now than I was there last year, and the cows wanted nothing to do with him. He's walking around with a bit of hay in his mouth. You've never seen a greater impersonator of a good Aussie farmer than G. Denyer.
Oh, it's a good act, isn't it? It's a good. There's not much of authenticity to it, but... It's, look, my cows are a little bit more well-rehearsed than last time. You know, when Howie came, he sort of disrupted everybody with his cameras and his bedazzling white smile and his deep bronze tan. And that's confronting for a country cow. They don't see the likes of these coastal units kicking around looking that sharp.
These non-manual labour hands, they're too soft.
No, they're too gentle. They don't see any calluses on his hands. And they go, well, there's nothing wrong with this unit. This bloke's not the real deal. But now,
have a listen to Farmer Joe down the line.
I've got a new cow. Now, mate, I have lost a couple of chickens, unfortunately. The fox got in the chicken coop and took a couple.
Family Feud going beautifully. It's the flagship of Network 10. I think I might get to come in there at some stage in the next few months, which I'm looking forward to. I think we're doing a Big Bash special.
I think fantastic. You're breaking a scoop as we speak right now.
Gilly will dominate you, mate. He'll be all over you.
There is some talk that the Big Bash League might be coming on to play a little bit of celebrity Family Feud, which you'll find out as soon as you get there, mate, is an absolute hoot. Where and even a lot of people get a little bit concerned about, you know, the pressure of performing under the pump and under the big lights. But what you need to remember is the worst answer is still the best answer on Family Feud. You can't fail, Howie. You can't fail.
The worst answer being the best answer. It's like working with Fev on radio. Very sort of similar deal. Hey, mate, best of luck this weekend. I look forward to seeing you. You've got your DVS race today, so it's a long race. You'll be starting the race as well, so it's a real challenging day for you.
Yeah, big day. 250K race today, and as I said, look, I'm not in these things all the time. I run in the GTs normally, and we're leading the championship in the GTs. I know them well. A supercar, I'm a little out of practice, so hopefully I don't have my ears boxed in too badly, and she comes back with straight panels on it.
Good luck, Grant.
Best of luck, mate. We appreciate your time.
Good night. Love you.
Grant Denyer, good night. He's just a little bit unsure about what's ahead today. Good luck to him.
Why does a sheep getting out of the car?
And the thing that he didn't mention is he needs a phone book so he can just lean up a bit to see over the steering wheel as well. I didn't want to point that out when he was on the line. He is a star. He is a star. Keep an eye out for him. He'll be racing on the 10 coverage today. This is Mark Howard and Jude Bolton on the Dead Set Legends from Bathurst on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. Jude, the great Campbell Brown, who we know and love, he's got himself involved in what can only be described as an extraordinary situation. He is headed over to India. Well, he's telling me it's not a junket. We've got him on the line now from India. He's a very, very busy man. There are two very popular games in India. One is cricket. The other one is a game called Kabaddi. Australia's got a team over there, and they are led. He is our captain. Good morning, Brownie.
Now, Brownie, what are you doing in India? Just explain to the people what you're actually doing there.
Well, it's the Australian Kabaddi team, mate. We're over here in Ahmedabad, India, and we flew in on Monday. The tournament starts tonight, actually. There's a big opening ceremony, a bit like the Olympics, and the host nation, India, play their first game. We then take them on tomorrow night, so it's absolutely huge. And you're asking and thinking what Kabaddi is, it's probably the best way to describe it is like British Bulldog. There's seven on the field and a raider comes onto the court. You've got to try and tag them or touch them in any way possible. You can with your hand or with your foot, and then you've got to try and get back off before they tackle you and stop you. So it's a pretty physical game, which is right up the dog's alley.
Listen to him. I love how you refer to yourself in the third person. The dog has gone global.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting yesterday. There was a big press conference and all the captains of all the countries. There's 12 countries here playing in the Kabaddi World Cup, and it's a fairly large Indian contingent of media. But they absolutely love it over here. And this local sport, which basically just started out of nothing, has grown and grown, and it's now on Star Sports, and you can actually tune in and watch it on Fox Sports 2 back in Australia. I think it's the first time that I'll be broadcasting the Australian Kabaddi team. So it's pretty exciting stuff, and we're having a lot of fun over here.
Okay, now Brownie, I don't think people understand how big it is in India. You're not only representing your country for the second time after representing against the Irish, but you're captain.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Dual international, Howie, which was quite humorous. But no, the process simply was a guy, Bruce Cato, came up with the, well, didn't come up with the concept, but he got called by the International Kabaddi Federation, and they said that they'd like to have Australia represented in the World Cup. And from there, he put the team together. It all happened fairly quickly. It was put together in about a month. So it didn't give us a lot of time to... my first question was, what's Kabaddi? Probably like all the listeners and you are thinking right now, but it was pretty easy to pick up. And from there, I managed to recruit Adam Schneider and Stephen Milne. So they're over here as well. I called a couple of other past footballers, and they were keen, but because we only had probably 2.5-3 weeks to drop everything and come to India, not many people are that flexible to be able to do that, and it was grand final week leading into it, so the timetable wasn't on our side, but we've managed to put together a pretty strong side with all the football background, even some of the local footballers, the tackling and agility and footwork side of things. It comes pretty naturally to us. So a few nations here, we play England in our second game, and they're new to the sport as well, so we'll be hoping to spank the Poms.
Now, Dog, last time I was in Ahmedabad, it was a dry state. You couldn't have a beer. Is that still the case, brother? Not your go.
Mate, it is as dry as the desert here. Yep, there's no bars, there's no clubs, there's no beers. There's nothing.
No.
So really just good detox time for everyone after a fantastic grand final week. But, don't think I could spend too much time in a dry state, Howie. You know how the dog rolls, and it's just real sort of tough work.
Now, Dog, this is your country. This is the green and gold. You're representing 22 million Australians. You need to get there. You need to get the job done, brother.
We will, mate. We will get the job done. And not only are there 20 million Australians just going to be following this anxiously, there's 500 million Indians that this will be viewed in front of on Star Sports. So to put that into perspective, what did the AFL Grand Final get? 2 million sort of watch?
Yep.
Maybe a few more. So they're mad for it over here, and they absolutely love it. So 500 million people tuning in to watch Australia-India tomorrow night. It's going to be huge.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The dog has gone global. Mate, the best of luck, brother. Do us proud.
Good work, mate.
Good on you, boys.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. Jude, I am up the mountain as we speak. You are in Sydney. The story of Chaz Mostert. I spent some time with Chaz and his family on Wednesday night. You remember that horrific accident he had at the top of the mountain last year?
It was horrific, I guess, to see him pulled out of the car. And, I guess I can't wait to hear what you had a bit of a chat to him the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, we went up there. His family camp up at Bathurst, so it's the full Bathurst experience. He used to camp up there with him. They've got the camper van up there, and they all get around, and they've got a big fire, and everyone has a couple of beers. That's the real Bathurst experience. And we sat down with Chaz. A lot of people, after last year, forgot that the year before he won the race. He started last on the grid and won a race he'd grown up idolising alongside Paul Morris.
I like the positives. So let's talk about the win. 2014, you start last?
Started last, yeah, hoping for a top 10, and then safety cars after safety cars, red flags, and somehow passed, you know, the champ, you know, on with a third of the lap to go and steal the win from him was just absolutely crazy. You'd be on the top step and look down and see your dad in the middle of the crowd there and, you know, just yelling at you is, instead of not abuse, but congrats. It was pretty different for me to start with, but it was pretty amazing. Those moments and that feeling you get, that's what brings you back here every year, just to try and get that 3 seconds of feeling all over again.
Started last on the grid, incredible. I mean, when you see Craig Lowndes is obviously starting 21st, and we spoke to Rusty about how it's such a long race and you can actually make your way through, but to come from last and then win a race that I guess he's grown up and watched, it is fairy tale stuff, isn't it?
You know, that's the thing about Bathurst, you know, people roll up, they've got the top 10 shootout this afternoon, and guys miss out in the top 10 shootout. Lowndes is again out of the top 10 shootout, which he missed last year and was able to win it. So anything can happen, as we saw last year, and it was when that incident happened, Jude, there's always an eerie feeling around the mountain. And I remember getting shots of Chaz being loaded into the helicopter, and it was like, wow, is he all right? And you always get initial sketchy reports that, you know, seven marshals have been hit, no, four marshals have been hit, and Chaz has broken his leg, or no, he's got a knock to the head, or he's got an issue with his arm. You're never quite sure what's going on. Obviously, he had a really nasty, nasty, nasty break of the leg, and the vision of him in the car when he realised what's happened, and he starts actually screaming. It's quite horrific. This is Chaz on his thoughts on what happened that day.
So then to last year, the whole country held their breath, I think it'd be fair to say, last year in qualifying. You guys were here.
I personally can't explain it. I was lucky. I had the headset on, and I could hear him. I heard his first words.
Which were?
I'm okay, but I think I broke my leg. I turned to Annie and said to Annie, he's okay. Look, I haven't been able to watch the footage. I haven't seen the footage because I watch the timing monitors. I don't really watch what the car's doing, and I don't want to watch it either.
The crash of me was just one of those things that just, a small error and fully ruined our whole year, not just our Bathurst chances of trying back to back it. So, it was a bit of a kick in, the below area, but... I think what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
It's incredible audio. I mean, it just shows and highlights the excruciating highs and lows of sport. And I guess 12 months apart, he's winning Bathurst, and then 12 months later, he's getting pulled from a car with a broken leg. It's you've got to strap yourself in for the roller coaster of sport, don't you?
Yeah, he spent 2 weeks in the Bathurst hospital and then got transported back to his part of the world, and another 2 weeks in hospital there. He lost a lot of weight. But as part of the incident, he collected right into the marshals area, and a couple of the marshals, they had their back turned and the car's coming in at 150 clicks. There's a gentleman by the name of Barry Cox who was cleaned up. And Chaz's father, Eddie, who he's a wonderful fella and still says he hasn't gone back and watched the incident, he was in the pits at the time. And this week he organised for all the marshals to have a barbecue on the Wednesday night, and they had the sausages on and a few beers, and Chaz went and spoke to the marshals, and he had a chat with Barry, and he had a chat with three of the nurses that looked after him. It was just a really cool scene, Jude, that he went back and sort of gave back to all these people. And again, we've got courtesy of Network 10 a little bit of that audio.
When I got to the hospital and found out that I had injured some marshals, I was pretty concerned, and probably my parents can vouch for this. I nearly leaped out of the bed and tried to walk to go see, if they were okay. But, big thank you for you guys taking up the time to do what you guys do. And, hopefully we never injure you guys or you put you in harm's way like that again.
Explain to us what was going on there with all the marshals. That was really cool, I thought.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Your old man put the thought in my head that it'd be cool to get the marshals together that, I did injure last year, and also see if we could get some of the nurses that took care of me at the Orange Hospital to come down and, just catch up with them 1 year since pretty much the big crash. And a lot of people in there are just fans like everybody else, but they also do, volunteer to help us out on the track and look after us safety-wise as well.
It's a wonderful gesture, just to take the time out, but, it's just a phenomenal thing to think that it's almost closure on the incident, and they can move forward from there, I guess.
Yeah, it was to see him go in there. People are just stoked to see, they're getting selfies with him. But the nurses weren't like that. They were like, wow, we can't believe how you looked this time 12 months ago and how you are now. And they were just so happy. And so listen to everyone this weekend at Bathurst. No doubt, hopefully it's a safe weekend. And to all the marshals, you do a wonderful, wonderful job. And the motor racing couldn't go ahead without you. All right, Judy, plenty to come on the Dead Set Legend. You've got a couple of little things. And then we got the Dead Set Legend and Donkey of the Week. I tell you, those Malaysian Nine, they might be a
right
chance
up
at
there.
Some point.
Right up there.
Coming up on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Jude Bolton. It's been a massive show. Greg Rust, Mark Scaife, Mark Bosnich, Grant Denyer, Campbell Brown, Chaz Mostert, Jay-Z Clark. Have we had a show and a half, Judy boy?
It's been an enormous show. It's been it's a perfect way to wrap it up. And our favourite segments almost is Dead Set Legend of the Week and Donkey of the Week. So,
I think you've got the legend. Who are you going with,
mate? Well, there's been a few things happening this week, but obviously last night we heard from this man at the North Melbourne Best and Fairest.
I also know there has been a lot of speculation about my future. I've wrestled with this decision since the day we were beaten by the Crows. I think my footy is good enough to go on, and the fact that I love my footy so much is why this has been such a tough decision. But I'd like to tell everyone in this room tonight that my decision not to pull on another team's jumper is the reason why I'd like to announce my retirement from AFL football. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm extremely privileged to have played one game for the North Melbourne Football Club, let alone play here for 21 years.
432 games there, Howie. Games record holder of the AFL, just an absolute superstar. He is our dead set legend of the week, Brent Harvey.
Yeah, well done to Boomer, and everyone at North Melbourne will be just so stoked, I think, that he's saying that's the end of his AFL career. I tell you, will there be some clubs around in the northern suburbs just trying to sign him up for next year?
They'll be throwing the cash at him too. He gets to sit at home, they will. Just roll in and just start, yeah, do his thing.
Donkey of the week, I thought long and hard about this for 8 seconds, and the old budgie smuggler nine, they've got to get it. They've got to get it, dude. You go over there and roll around in your jocks in a country where that's far from appropriate. I think you deserve a bit of prison time. I think they're a bit lucky to get off with what they got, dude. I think I would have given those sort of Sydney public schoolboy, private schoolboy types maybe a nice month, 6 weeks, just to really bring them back to earth, dude.
Well, I think the 4 nights that they spent over there in the Malaysian prison was they were just a little bit hairy those days. So, yeah, mate, very very worthy winners of the Donkey of the Week. So, all good.
No doubt about it. Keep an eye for Bathurst on Network 10 this afternoon. Also, Jude, Mental Health Week kicks off next week. Have a listen on Triple M tomorrow from 10 a.m. Triple M's running a mental health special with all sorts of people. So have a listen to that. It might help you out. It might help someone you know out. So keep an ear out for that one from 10 a.m. Jude, it's been a pleasure. You now get to have the delights of a bit of fun time in Sydney, and I'm up the mountain having sausages and maybe a cougar or a Jim Beam or something. That's right. As long as I don't, I'm happy to stay at work because I just don't want to go back to that hotel.
Enjoy those cold showers, mate. All good. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great weekend. This has been the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the king size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.